Greetings, this is Pastor Stan Harvey of the Pentecostals of Sydney. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. It is our hope that this message, whether it be a Sunday service or a midweek lesson, would be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual journey. Stay connected with us on our website, posydney.com, or on our numerous social media platforms. Now to the service.
Also, Brother Arian and his mom and dad from our church in Brisbane, Brother Romeo's church, we welcome them. Good to see them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone else from out of town here? Amen. Some of you. Okay. Oh, good to see Brother Greg's mom from Brisbane also. We got a Brisbane day today. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Great to see all of our friends and family. Of course, we're thinking of the victims of that terrible tragedy and that horrendous attack yesterday in Bondi Junction. And we have a church out there, Nisa Summers, with Brother Freddie. And so we're going to be praying for that area. Just horrendous to see what has happened there. And of course, it's all around us. It becomes even more sobering and real when it happens in our own backyard. It's happening all over the world. But when it happens here, it is quite shocking. And of course, we are reminded what Jesus said in the last days, the love of many are going to wax cold. And for others, for people, taking a life or hurting other people is nothing for some people. And so we want to remember those in prayer, those that are victims there. Amen. Well, as we heard today, we have our midweek, our communion service, where we observe the Lord's Supper on Wednesday, the believer's communion. We want to invite you to be a part of that. And also to let you know, the financial peace seminar that Brother Greg and Brother Scott are doing is postponed today. That'll continue on next Sunday. We had a great attendance last week, and it's wonderful that we can learn about what God says about how we manage this very, very important aspect of life called our finances. And God has a lot to say in His Word about how we handle our money. Amen. But I want to take my thoughts today from the book of Joshua. If you turn to the book of Joshua in your Bibles, Joshua chapter 4. Last week I talked about, from the book of Revelation, how them that are called and chosen and faithful. And I want to continue on about being faithful. They are the ones that are going to be with Christ in the end. He that endures to the end shall be saved, the Bible says. So it is our custom in this church to stand for the reading of God's word. And so if you are able to stand, if you can't stand, please remain seated. But if you are able to, we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 7 of Joshua chapter 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hands out of the midst, or in the middle of the Jordan River, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge that night, this night. And then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. So this evidently, he's telling them, bring a stone, not one that you can carry in your hand, but something quite sizable that it needed to be carried on their shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? What is the meaning of these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. I want to talk to you about building memorials. Building memorials. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what we feel. Your touch, you have spoken already through the gifts of the Spirit. You have spoken to us through the worship, the songs, the lyrics of these songs. Lord God, as it were, our prayers. And today we pray for those that the victims of this horrible attack at Bondi Junction yesterday. God, I pray that even in this time that they would, Lord God, as they begin to question morale and mortality, that somehow they would look to you. I ask you to give comfort to the family at this time, that you would visit with them, that in this moment of shock and pain, the Lord, you would visit them. And so we pray for your help. We ask you to anoint your servant and the people of God. Lord, we want to be faithful to you. We want to do your bidding, Lord Jesus. And we believe, Lord God, as we respond today in the faith through your word, that God, you're going to have your way. So bless us now. Bless the people of God here in this place as we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands one more time. Let's give him thanks and praise. Father, we thank you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord God, today. We praise you, our Lord and King, King of kings and Lord of lords. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The Bible is a remarkable book that is filled with things that you would not expect. In fact, if you were to imagine reading the Bible for the first time, remember, imagine if you've never read the Bible before, never heard those stories, but you read it for the first time, and you started to read some of these stories, it would be astounding to read of what happened. Story of a little boy, Johnny, went to Sunday school for the first time, and when he came back from his Sunday school class, his mother asked him, "So, Johnny, what did you learn in school today?" And Johnny began to tell the story of what he had heard in his Sunday school class. He said, well, it was about the story of Moses and the children of Israel. And they were at the Red Sea. And being at the Red Sea, they were at a dead end. They couldn't get past. And the Pharaoh and his armies came to destroy them, to kill them. Pharaoh and his chariots. And so what Moses did was, he got on the phone and he called some attack helicopters to come and strafe, shoot the Egyptian army to keep them at bay. And then he called the, this is Johnny telling the story, okay? He said then Moses called the Army Corps of Engineers to come and build a bridge over the Red Sea. And as he built the bridge, the children of Israel, they went across over that bridge and they made it safely to the other side. And when Pharaoh and his army tried to use the bridge, Moses called in some B-52 bombers to come and bomb the bridge and destroy Pharaoh and his army. And you know, Johnny's mother shaking her head. She said, "Johnny, is that really how they told you the story?" And Johnny said, "No, but if you can't believe that version, you'll never believe what they try to tell me." Then Moses simply stuck out his rod over the Red Sea, and the Lord parted the Red Sea, and the Bible says that the children of Israel walked on dry ground. Amen. And as they passed through, every single member, every single person of Israel passed through, then Pharaoh and his army came charging after them, going into the Red Sea. And you know the story. God closed up the Red Sea to destroy Pharaoh and his chariots. This is a remarkable story. This is a mighty deliverance. This begins the chapter of the history of Israel as God led them out of bondage, of hundreds of years of slavery, out of bondage. And he did it all in this one miraculous event called the Exodus, a deliverance. And in order for them to get out of Egypt, they had to cross the Red Sea. And the Red Sea would swallow up their slave masters and destroy their persecutors forever, the Bible says. Now here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. He says, and moreover, 1 Corinthians 10 and 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. You see, when the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea, there was a cloud over them. It was under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. And then he says in verse number 2, and we are all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. what Paul was trying to relay to Corinthians, he was trying to convey this understanding that when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea and that there was a cloud over them, that it represents baptism. It represents baptism, that when they crossed over and the Egyptians came, the waters of the Red Sea had swallowed up the Egyptians and destroyed them. And he says there was also a cloud over them. They were baptized unto in the cloud. And the cloud always represents the Holy Spirit of God. And he's trying to make this metaphor, this simile, if you will, of the Red Sea, this parallel, that just as Moses and the children of Israel went through the Red Sea, it's like a type of baptism, and it destroyed their oppressors, it destroyed their slave masters, never to oppress them ever again. And this is typical, this is like, it is a shadow, it is a type of what will happen to the born-again believer. The born-again believer is the same, that the way that Moses went through the Red Sea, when you go through the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and this is what I talked about last week, something happens. Amen. The slavery, the slave masters, the sin that had us bound, it is cut off, it is removed and destroyed forever out of our lives. Amen, amen. But just as the waters of baptism washes away our sins, just like there's also a cloud or the presence of the Spirit of God. God not only washes away our sins, but he promises to fill us with the gift of the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we call him Abba Father. We are born again of water and of spirit, the same way they were set free. The same way we are set free when we are born again of water and of the Spirit, and all our enemies and the strength of sin and the strength of Satan, the devil, who had dominion over us. When you get in the water and the blood of Jesus covers you, the dominion of Satan is destroyed. We no longer are bound by the sin and the bondage of sin, but we are set free. And you know the story, when the children of Israel got across to the Red Sea, what did Moses' sister do, Miriam? She got out the tambourine and she began to praise God and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why we worship God the way we do. Amen. Excuse me if I look a little messy. Excuse me if my hairstyle gets out of whack. Excuse me if my bobby pins, well, I don't have bobby pins, but the sister's bobby pins come falling out, because I'm rejoicing, because what I've been through, I've been through the fire. I've been through the flood. I've been set free, and I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm now a child of God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I've come to tell somebody, if you haven't experienced that, you can today. If you've not been baptized to get rid of your sin, it is for the forgiveness of sins. It is for the remission of sins. I'm sorry, I know this is not part of my message, but I've just come to tell you, don't let anybody tell you that baptism is not essential. It's not necessary. It's just a practice. It's just some kind of ordinance that they do in the church. No, we don't do things just for the sake of doing it. There's purpose behind it. Mark 16:16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Come on. Can somebody quote Acts 2:38 for me? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What for? For the remission of your sins, for removal, forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, remember that there is nothing mystical or magical about the water. It can be any water. It's not the water that does the work. Amen. Jesus shed his blood so that we can be forgiven. If it had not been for the work of Christ on the cross, we would not have the opportunity to be saved. What he did on the cross for us, shedding his blood, now allows us to be saved. But just because he shed his blood, it doesn't mean that every human being is saved. You still have to apply the blood by choosing to believe choosing to repent and choosing to get in the water and be baptized. And that's where baptism and the water and obedience and faith, nothing with the water, but in your obedience and faith to the Word of God, it has the power to remove every sin in your life. Oh, I don't know about you, but that makes me kind of happy. Oh, yes, the reason why God has given it to us is so that you and I can be saved. We can be set free from the sin that had us bound all of these years. We can have all of our guilt removed. Our conscience is cleared. Our hearts are cleaned because of what He did for us on the cross. Hallelujah. This is the wonderful message of being born again. So Jesus said, except a man is born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. It is so clear in Scripture. You read it throughout the book of Acts. They commanded him to be baptized in Acts 10 and 40, 44 to 47. He commanded them to be baptized. Amen. In Acts 22, 16, he told Paul, he said, Paul, what are you waiting for? Arise, get up, washing away your sins in baptism, calling upon the name of the Lord. And remember, you've got to have the name over you in baptism. You've got to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. The name is what has authority. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus said, you will preach remission of sins in my name. And he also said, remission of sins in my blood. So which is it? Is it in his blood or is it in his name? Well, I submit to you, it's both. When you say the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus is applied over your life. When you speak the name of Jesus, the blood is in the name. You don't see blood in the water, but when you speak the name of Jesus in faith, the blood of Christ is applied upon your life, and we are set free. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said all that to say, that's simply my introduction. To tell you that the Exodus, crossing the Red Sea, was just a one-time event. It's just one time they got through. It was pretty quick. God did it all for them, basically. They just had to keep walking. He said, move forward. But it's the rest of the time that's going to take the next 40 years and then takes the conquering of Canaan's land, the promised land. And what I've come to tell you today is that it's very easy to be baptized. It takes only a few seconds to get in the water. I mean, we can hold you down a little longer if you like. If you want to go straight to heaven, I'm just... But here in the story of Joshua that we read, this is another time, a second time, that now they had to cross a body of water again. Instead of the Red Sea, it was the River Jordan. The Jordan River at this point was breaking its banks. The water, the river was full. Been torrential rain, and it was full. And so they had to cross the Jordan for them to be able to enter into the promised land. And God tells them through Joshua, he says, when you go through the waters of Jordan, this time when you go through it, I want you to take something with you. Take a stone with you, and when you get to the other side, one stone for every tribe, for every of the one of the 12 tribes of Israel, you take one stone, and when you get to the other side, you pile up those stones to make a memorial or an altar. And he said, this time is going to be different. He said, last time when you crossed the Red Sea, there was Moses who simply held out the rod, and God performed a miracle and parted the Red Sea. But this time it's going to be different. He said, this time you're going to have a bit of space between you and the priests. And the priests are going to be carrying the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. And they're not going to wait until the Red Sea or the Jordan River opens up. But they're going to continue to carry it on their shoulders and simply step into the River Jordan. This is different. He said, it was different the first time, but this time I want you don't have to wait for the waters to open. You simply walk forward. I think very simply the application here is today to understand that when we were first born again, that when we are young Christians, God often does things for us, and he shows us things, he blesses us, he gives us a new job, he gives us new friends, we see the healing power of God. But there's got to come a point in our walk with God where we have to mature and we have to grow and develop spiritually to where sometimes he doesn't have to open up the waters, but you simply still walk through the situation. You walk through your circumstance. And the moment the priest's foot stepped into the water and broke the plane of that water, then the miracle happened. Then the power of God was manifested. Can I tell you, it's not always going to be the same. It's not always, as you begin to mature and walk with God, you've got to learn to step into it by faith, despite whether it's opened up or not. Even if he provided for you or not, you simply have to keep moving forward and walking with God and sing that song, I believe. Even before I see it, I believe. Even when I can't feel it, I believe. Even when I don't see it all happening, I'm still going to walk forward. I'm still going to trust in God. Even if he hasn't provided yet, I'm still going to sing, he is my provider. Even if he hasn't healed me yet, I'm still going to sing, he is my healer. He is my deliverer. I'm going to keep moving forward. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. It's time for us to continue. Don't wait till things happen. Don't wait till he blesses you before you worship him. Don't wait until he provides before you open up your mouth. But when you walk through these doors, there ought to be a praise in your mouth and on your feet. Even before it happens, I'm still going to worship you. Oh, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Let's praise him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, this time, when you walk through the river, when you go through this water, I want you to take something with you. I want you to bring a stone you could carry on your shoulder. It's going to be that heavy. And when you go over the other side, you put those stones together and build, as it were, a memorial. An altar of 12 large, formidable stones, so that people will see it, so that when your children walk by, they're going to ask, what is the meaning of this stone? What is this here for? He said, it's there for a memorial, so that they can begin to ask, well, why is this here? And then you can say, well, I'm glad you asked, son. I'm so glad you asked what this is about. This is about the day when we entered into the promised land, when we couldn't see anything happening, but we simply obeyed the word and we moved forward. We didn't wait till the water parted. We walked into the water even while it was still there, and then God did something in our midst. What I've come to preach to you today is you've got to learn, brothers and sisters. It only takes a few seconds to be baptized and to get the Holy Ghost, but for the rest of our lives, we've got to build some altars and build some memorials in our lives. Things that become a permanent fixture, things that are not going to be moved, things that we are going to be faithful to until the very end, so that our children, our friends, the world will ask, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are these things a part of your life? Why do you go to church every Sunday? Why do you choose to put a smile on your face when you're going through a battle right now? Why? And all you can turn around and say, well, thank you for asking me. I'll tell you why. Because God is still on the throne. My God delivered me. He set me free from drugs. He set me free from sin. That's why I go to church every Sunday. There's no better place I'd rather be. The most boring Sunday morning in church is still better than the best Saturday night out in the world. I'd rather be in the house of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've got to build some altars. You've got to build some things in your life that becomes a permanent fixture. Amen. Why do you do what you do? Why is it every Sunday morning you get ready and go to the house of God? Why is it that you give of your tithes, your offerings? Why is it that you open up your Bible every day and you spend time in prayer? You've got to build some things that are non-negotiables, some permanent things in your life that will not be moved. Hallelujah. They're a memorial. Whenever something is a memorial, that means there's a permanent structure there. You go to your local park, I guarantee you'll see a memorial there. fact, you go to Asheville Park, there's a couple of different memorials there. Asheville Park, actually, there's a memorial to a Filipino hero named Jose Rizal. I didn't even know that until I was walking by one day. I'm like, oh, there's a bust of a Filipino here. I don't know why it's there. You would have expected it to be in Blacktown or somewhere. But a memorial is something that's there for everybody to see, for everybody to be reminded about something. We have Anzac Day coming up. We have Anzac memorials to the heroes, to the those men who fought and died to secure our freedoms. And so he says, take something with you. Don't just go through your problems, but go grow through your problems. Amen? If you're going through a valley right now, don't come out of the valley empty-handed. Bring something with you that you can place as an altar. If you're going through a battle and a problem in your life that you've never experienced before, listen, don't go through it empty-handed. Take some stuff with you. Take some lessons with you. Use it as something to drive you to the altar, to build an altar in your life, to build a memorial in your life that becomes something that is fixed, that will not be moved. I'm sorry, I don't care who it is that's playing, I'm going to be in the house of God. I don't care who it is that's singing in the stadium, I'm going to be in the house of God. It matters not, amen, if I just lie a little bit on my taxes, if I just cheat a little bit with my pay slip, if I do that, no, there's some things that's not going to be moved. Why? Because I've got some memorials. I've got some things in my life that's not going to change. They say, hey, bro, how come you don't laugh at our dirty jokes at work? How come, you know, we're all cheating here. Don't worry, we're just going to cheat on our timesheet. It's okay, everybody's doing it. How come you're not doing that? There's got to be some non-negotiables in our lives. It says, put the memorials so that the children will ask, what is the meaning of this? What is this all about? And when there's some things in your life that becomes a memorial, that you refuse to compromise on your convictions before God, it becomes a witness to those around you. And they begin to ask, what is it about you that you refuse to do what everybody else is doing? What is it in your life that you are standing so strong? When I look at you and the problems that you've been through, you should be somewhere in a mental asylum, and here you are with a smile on your face, worshiping God, jumping up and down, dancing. What is it about you? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. There's some things that I've made a memorial in my life. That's the word of God, prayer, being in the house of God, loving my neighbor. Hallelujah. You see, I don't have to cheat on my timesheet. Why? Because he is the one that supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I don't laugh at dirty jokes because it doesn't make my God happy. He doesn't rejoice in those evil things. I'm standing for what pleases him. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us of a man in the book of Acts, if you can get that scripture. The Bible says of this man, Cornelius, that his prayers and his alms came up as a memorial before God. It was a memorial before God. Do you realize you can create memorials in heaven through the faithfulness and consistency of your prayers and of your giving? Amen. We don't just have memorials in the parks. We can create a memorial in heaven so that when God, sitting on his throne, decides to get up off his throne, you've been praying and you've been giving so faithfully and consistently that there's a memorial that God says, oh, hang on a minute. Oh, here's Brother Ray's. Here's Brother Ray's giving and prayers. Oh, hang on a minute. I got to move. Here's Sister Martha's prayers and giving. We can create a memorial before God through our consistency and our faithfulness, through our constancy before God. You've got to build some altars in your life. Amen. The altar in the tabernacle, in the temple, the Bible says that altar of incense, the fire was not to go out day and night. There was supposed to be a perpetual incense of prayer to go up to heaven. And can I tell you, don't give up on your prayers, even if you haven't seen the answers yet, even if it hasn't materialized. Come on. You've been praying for that loved one. You've been praying for your kids, for your sons and daughters. It hasn't happened yet. Oh, but I'm going to bring it up before God. My prayers are not going to stop. It's going to come up as a memorial. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm here today because somebody prayed for me. I'm here today because somebody brought my name before the throne of God. Somebody interceded for my life while I was a teenager hooked on drugs, lost in the world. Somebody's prayer had come up before God. And one day, somebody invited me to church. I came, God washed me, He filled me, He turned my life around. Prayers never die. And so the Exodus is quick. Baptism, this is just the beginning. This is how you start. And remember, you only got to get baptized once. We don't keep baptizing you every week because you sin every week. That'd be tiring for us. But even after you are baptized and you sin again, you will sin because you're human. All you got to do is repent, and the same power that washes away your sins of baptism forgives your sins straight away. That's why don't wallow in your sin. Don't stay in your sin. You sin, get back up again and keep walking with God. Keep following Him. He's the only one that's going to give you real joy. He's the only one that's going to give you any lasting peace. Don't wallow in that sin. Build some altars. Build some things. Say, wait, what is it about you? Why do you do this? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you a little story. Back in 1953, you take these rocks, these stones, pile them up against another. You know, remember that God created us as creatures of habit. This is the genius of God. The genius of God. He created us as creatures of habit. Because when you do something out of habit, you don't use a lot of your brain power. You don't use a lot of energy. It uses a part of your brain, a particular portion of your brain that uses very, very little energy. That's why oftentimes when you do something out of habit, you don't even think about it. Right? We all have these little idiosyncrasies, you know, scratch my forehead, scratch my nose, scratch my ears. I remember when I first started preaching, my wife said, why are you always scratching your ears? I said, because I'm trying to hear from God. I said, Lord, what are you saying? I mean, how many of you went, when you walked in here this morning, you went directly to the seat that you always sit in? Put your hand up. How many of you? You didn't even think about it. He said. Unless somebody was sitting in your seat like, what is going on? What's with this rebellion here? What's? We are creatures of habit. This is the genius of God. He gave us the ability to do things out of habit so that we don't need a lot of energy to be able to do it. And so you've got to create these, what Charles Duhigg calls keystone habits. Keystone habits will, when you fulfill keystone habits, every other habit follows on from that keystone habit. A little illustration would be when Stephen Covey, you know, the guy that wrote Seven Highly Effective People, whatever, he gave his illustration of this jar, and there was these four elements, rocks, a big rock, smaller rocks, sand, and water. And he asked the question, can I fit all of these four elements in that one jar? And, of course, he does a little illustration. He puts the water in first, then he puts the sand, and then he puts the smaller rocks. But by the time that happens, he can barely put any of the big rocks to fit in. He can't fit them all in. And he says, is it possible to put them all in? Yes, it is, but you just got to have the right priority order. He said, you got to put the big rocks in first, and then you put the smaller rocks, and then you pour in the sand, and the sand will find its way through the cracks and fill up any empty spaces. And then, of course, the water would do exactly the same. And he was able to fill in all of those four elements in the jar. And the lesson was that, is that you've got to have the keystone things first. You've got to have the first things first. God must be first in our lives. Seek ye first. You need a job? You need money? You need help in your life? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and his righteousness. Follow his righteousness. And he said, all of these things that you have need of, it will be added unto you. When you create keystone habits in your life, these things of putting God first in prayer, in your devotion, with your heart, with your mind, everything else will begin to follow and everything else will begin to flow so that you can be fulfilled with what God intended for each of our lives. Create some keystone habits. Here's one habit: forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner or the custom or the habit of some is. That's why we go to church every Sunday. I don't need to come to church. I got God at home. Isn't he everywhere, Pastor? He's omnipresent, so I can have him. Yes, you can. And sometimes we're sick. We got to watch online. But that's not God's will. That's not God's ideal plan. His plan is for us to gather together, because when we rub shoulders, when we shake hands, when we can pray for one another, when we can lay hands on each other, the power of God is released. Oh, I thank God for the church. I thank God that I can be a part of the kingdom of God, that I could be with my brother and my sisters, that I could be with people that will touch God for me. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank God for the church. Let me tell you, the church is God's plan. The church is not man's design. It is God's plan. Again, I think I talked about this last week. But so if you got a problem with the church, you got a problem with God. He says, I will build my church. Now, sometimes we can ruin the church sometimes. We can annoy one another. We can step on each other's toes. Some of us are ultra sensitive. Some of us couldn't care less. Some of us, get sensitive if somebody just looks at us for a second. How dare they look at me like that? What am I? Some of us get upset with nobody's looking at us. I mean, we are a body of human beings with flaws. We're not perfect yet. That's not going to happen until the trumpet sounds and we are all going to be glorified. So bear with one another. Don't abandon your family just because they annoyed you or didn't laugh at your joke or didn't say hello to you. Don't throw that away. It is still the church of the living God. And could it be that if somebody hurts you, that God is using that person to develop resilience in you, to develop character in you, to develop patience in you? Come on. Okay, hands up if you're perfect here. Ooh, I almost saw half a hand. They were just scratching their nose. None of us are perfect. But we've got to build some things that becomes a permanent fixture in our lives. And those things is what will help us to be faithful. You've got to have an altar in your home. And you see this it's always indicative in the story of Israel. When they enter the promised land, they began to have kings. You can always see the spiritual condition of Israel by the amount of altars that was in the landscape. Whenever the king backslid, they started to worship idols. They started to build high places, groves where they put statues. And as soon as a righteous king ascended the throne, the first thing that he would do is he would remove those high places. He would destroy those idols and he would build altars. An altar in the Old Testament time is simply a structure made of stone where you put firewood and a sacrifice of an animal, and that sacrifice, the burnt sacrifice, the smoke and the smell of the aroma would go up to heaven, as it were, and God would be pleased. God's not requiring that of us now, of course, because Jesus is our sacrificial animal. He is our sacrificial lamb who died to take the sins of the world. We don't have to kill animals anymore, but what we do is we create an altar in our hearts where we bring our prayers and our hearts, our affections, our emotions, and every part of who we are to begin to worship the Lord. And I want to challenge this church today that whatever God has done in your life, that you continue to build an altar one upon another, that you would fill your life with the prayers and the worship unto God. And I promise you, He hears every prayer. Hallelujah. I've got to finish. Musicians, you could come. But I believe with all my heart, God is doing a work in somebody's life here today to begin to change the things that were part of your habit, things that were part of your routine of life, to where now it becomes an altar unto God. Living for God is the best life of all. You can have amazing services, and the next day you're not going to be hungover. You can have amazing services, and you're not going to be broke and regret, what did I do yesterday at church? My goodness. But I submit to you that you worship God with all of your heart. God will bless you. It's the law of the harvest. When you sow, you will reap. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. I'll tell you why habits are so important. Habits are so important because, you know, they say that when people commit adultery or watch porn, it's usually at night. And they relay that to the fact, this is what Charles Duhigg says in his book, relays that to the fact that your willpower is a limited resource, like your muscle. Muscles can only lift so much weight, and afterwards it will be at the point of failure. You can't do it anymore. I've done, 300 with my hanky. It's just 300. At some point, I can't do anymore. It's the same with your willpower. It is a limited resource. And so by the end of the day, and it has been reported, even Christians who start off with devotion in the morning, by the evening time, they're watching porn. Yes, I'm not talking about Pentecostals. I'm talking about research here. And they say because the willpower is diminished by nighttime. So when you have no more willpower, your defenses are down. The only thing you have to rely upon is that which doesn't require much willpower. It's called your habits. That's why you've got to incorporate these godly habits in your life, so that you are not tempted away. When your willpower is diminished, you revert back to what you always do. Instead of getting on your phone late at night, instead of getting on the computer late at night, you get into your Bible in the evening. Amen. You say you cut off 8 o'clock, no more social media, no more this. I'm just simply going to get in the Word. I'm going to go to sleep talking to Jesus. Can I tell you, that's been the best sleep that I ever have, is when I'm going to sleep talking, whispering words to the lover of my soul. Amen. When you don't have enough willpower because you've incorporated habits, keystone habits, stones in your life, memorials, things that are permanent, it will lead you to prosperity. It will lead you to God's blessings. It will lead you to peace, to where you are not racked with guilt because of falling into this, that, or the other. Hallelujah. We did a course with our young men about some of the dangers of pornography. This is a real issue in the younger generation today, what it can do to the mind, to the brain of a young man and young women even. Yes, of course, women are getting into it as well. And how bad it is for a person. It can ruin marriages. These things, that's just one example of sin that can creep into our lives. When you build these things, build these habits so that he says, Joshua said, so the children will ask, what's the meaning of this? Do you know somebody's watching you somewhere, somehow, maybe it's a young person. You think, well, I've only been in church for a little while. They start seeing you. The next week they're watching, where's so-and-so? Where's brother so-and-so? And you may not realize this, but somebody may be getting encouraged from your worship. Somebody is encouraged by seeing you at the altar, seeing you at church every Sunday. Say, my God, this man is faithful. This woman, she's there. Believe it or not, maybe you don't even know who that is, but somebody's eyes is watching you. Maybe obviously if you're a parent, it's your kids. They're watching. Say, why is mom and dad so sold out? You're sending them a message. If you're not married, you don't have children, you're a single person, maybe there's a younger youth person there that's watching you, that admires you, that looks up to you. They don't even have the courage to talk to you. They don't even have the words to say, hey, I'm watching you. But somebody's watching you. Build some altars. Build some memorials. Let God be glorified through your faithfulness. Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lift up your voices right now in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit, Lord God, that abides with us, that strives with us even in our failures, even in our weaknesses, Lord. I pray today, Lord God, that we would build some things, that we would create an altar, Lord, for you, an altar in our hearts, an altar in our lives, that we would put some structures in place, a memorial that becomes a witness to the world, that becomes a testimony to those that are around us. Lord God, fill us with your spirit today. Fill us with your power. Lord, set us free. Heal our bodies. Lord, as we make this commitment before you, God, have your way in this house. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to invite you to come if you want to build an altar. If you're going through a river right now or a valley, take some stones with you. Use your trials as an altar. Use your problems as the sacrifice to bring to God in prayer. I want to challenge this church right now. If you'd like to build an altar before God, this altar is open. Come and make a memorial before God. Bring some stones of great importance, of great substance. Your life, the very core of your being, your dreams, your desires, all of them, piling one on top of another to make an altar before God. And he that answers with fire will bring fire from heaven to consume your sacrifice here today. This altar is open. You need the gift of the Holy Ghost. You've not repented of your sin. This is your opportunity today to respond to what you have heard. If God is speaking to you in your conscience, you feel conviction in your heart, respond to that conviction by coming before the Lord in a simple prayer to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent of my sin, and I believe you. I'm going to build my life as an altar, a sacrifice, as a memorial before you. Hallelujah. Let's seek him while he may be found. You have a need in your life. You need God's help for what you're facing. He can help you. He can give you what you need. In Jesus' name.